I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Can anyone become a published author? Now more and more aspiring writers are putting pen to paper or typing on their laptops. But just how easy is it for African Americans to get that sweet deal with a major publishing house? Are some simply looking to the world of self-publishing? To discuss this and the future of black publishing overall, we've got Haki Madhubuti, founder of Third World Press, one of the oldest independent black publishers in the U.S. We also have author Quincy Troop. His many works include Miles and Me and The Pursuit of Happiness, and Nakia Murray, founder of The Literary Consultant Group, an organization that advises authors on the process of self-publishing. Hi, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
How you doing, Farai?
I'm doing great. It's such an honor to have you guys with me, and all of you are people who are helping to reshape literature on a daily basis. So let me start with you, Haki. The Third World Press was something that you started over 40 years ago. Why and how?
Well, Quincy Troop and I come out of the same tradition. We felt that if you are writing about your own traditions, and any people who have control of their own cultural imperatives are writing about their traditions, that we looked around the world, the country, and we saw that other men and women in their particular tradition were starting publishing companies. And so with $400 and the mimeograph machine, I started Third World Press in 1967 after working with Dudley Randall, who had started Broadside Press in Detroit, Michigan in 1966. So being a part of a very difficult and awesome struggle, the civil rights struggle, the black empowerment struggle, the black arts movement, we all came out of that movement talking about building independent black institutions. And I just took it a little bit further and dedicated my life. I'm primarily a poet. Yeah, so I come out of this tradition in writing poetry, and which I still am, but the business side, so we not only have Third World Press, we also operate four schools here in Chicago, too. So this question of building independent black institutions, it becomes the underside of a strong people. When you look at a people, you look at their institutional structures. And so for us, publishing, especially creative works, was something that was drastically missing in the black community.
Most things that succeed are at the precipice of failure many different times. So what was one moment where you had to make a choice that this was going to succeed despite what other people told you, whether it was a financial moment, a moment in your own personal life? What, for example, was a challenge that you faced and you got through?
Well, I guess one of the major challenges have always been dealing with the federal government, most certainly in terms of taxes. Not being a trained business person, much of what I did in the early days was, you know, learning on the job. And so we were hit with a major, major tax bill once that almost put us out of business. But essentially, you know, I had to borrow money to deal with that. And then I think the other large question, we own our own headquarters here in Chicago. About 20 years ago, we bought a half a block here in Chicago. And out of the black publishers in the United States, there are only two black publishers that own their own headquarters. That's Johnson Publishing Company here in Chicago and Third World Press here in Chicago. And so buying this property moved us to another whole level in terms of dealing with the underpinnings of how do you run a successful business. And so therefore I've had on a job training all the way through the 42 years that we've been alive. And then working full-time at Chicago State University, I direct the MFA program in creative writing at Chicago State. So I've never taken a salary out of Third World Press or our schools. So I've had to work these jobs as well as write.
Yeah.
So it's always been a 14, 15-hour day, including Sundays. And it has not gotten any easier, especially now with the economic downturn as it is today.
Wow. That's dedication right there. Quincy, you too have been a part of trying to create not just a literary body of work yourself, but to really help nurture other authors as well, you and your wife. Given that you have published 18 books to date with major publishing houses, what is your space in the literary world on a business end? Do you think that you do best by working with mainly with one publisher? Do you float from publishing house to publishing house? For you, doing what you do, what works when you need to get your work published?
I kind of the first book I published was a book called Watts Poets and Writers, which I published, I self-published in Los Angeles when I was living there, which we published poets and writers like Jane Cortez and Stanley Crouch and a whole bunch of other writers. I got together that money and I published that and proofread it and everything else. And then after that venture, I've published my work with small houses, small publishing houses, and major publishing houses. And so, to get right to the crux of what you just asked, I've kind of floated around on the prose nonfiction side of things. For the most part, I published my poetry with small presses. I started out with a black publisher in New York, a little small black publisher in New York, and he died. And then I moved over to Coffee House Press in Minneapolis, which has published all of my poetry since that time. But the Miles books I published with major houses, The Pursuit of Happiness I published with major houses, the James Baldwin book I published with major houses, and then the children's books that I write, I have published with major houses. I want to add another thing to that. I really have always respected Haki for what he's done and his perseverance and publishing all these writers. And we are both poets. He's a poet. I'm a poet. And we've come up the hard way through this whole environment. He also is a college professor. I was a college professor for 34 years, but I retired retired in 2003. And moved back to New York. But one of the other things that I just want to mention, and I'll shut up, is that I've always been interested in, because he does the publishing, Haki does, and I think that's great. But I think we need journals and magazines. So I've always been in the business of starting magazines, Code Magazine, which came out of Los Angeles, and a number of other magazines, American Rag. I could just go down the list of a whole bunch of magazines that I've started. And now I'm editing a journal that comes out of New York University called Black Renaissance Noir, which I'm going to change the name in the next, not in this coming out issue, which will be out in about a month, but in the next one, it's going to be called Baobab. And so we're going to change the name to that. And that journal publishes fiction, nonfiction, poetry, essays, photographic essays, reproductions of artwork from African Americans, Africans, primarily Africans and African Americans and Latino writers and Asian writers, and with some sprinkling of white writers in there.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Black Renaissance, and so I look forward to Baobab. Nakia, let me turn to you. You are someone who's kind of the utility player of the book world. You can write, edit, publish. Tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Pretty much what we do at the Literary Consultant Group is we allow for authors that are looking to do their own thing or self-publish, as one may call it, to get all of their ducks in a row before kind of going out into the world blind, not really knowing and making a lot of the mistakes that independent publishers or self-published authors make without having a certain amount of information. Along with publishing consultation, we also do provide marketing and publicity services as well to independent authors as well as small presses.
So when you think about the, you know, give me an example of what someone would have when they walked into you asking to be a client and what advice you might give them once you had taken a look at their work.
Well, we get people at different stages, which is very interesting. We have some authors that come to us pretty much with just a manuscript. Then we have other people that will come to us after they have completed some of the steps, meaning they may already have a cover design, they may already have a title picked out, they may already have even printed some books already. And depending on really what it is that they need and what I see from my expertise as far as what they may need to change and start the process over again, those are the things that we help them out with. Some people, you know, may have cover treatments that are just not going to work in the marketplace, and we will coach them and advise them of new and innovative cover treatments that may help increase awareness and bring people to their project. some folks don't understand that exterior layout is just as important as interior layout. So proper typesetting as well as professional editing is key in putting out your own work.
Sorry, I want to jump in so that each of you has a chance to weigh in on this. Just quickly, maybe each of you could give me a sense of what you think the best play is for people who are trying to get books published. Meaning, should you go ahead and self-publish? Should you approach an existing small publisher? Should you try to, you know, pitch to the majors? Haki, what do you think?
Well, let me just give you a little bit of background on what's happening today. There are about six or seven black publishers that are active. And we've all cut back because of the economy, but other than Johnson Publishing Company, Broadside Press, there's also Black Classic Press. There's Just Us Books that are basically children's books. You have African World and Red Sea Press. You have Amber Books, and of course, Third World Press. You have to understand that the whole publishing industry is controlled by probably seven international conglomerates. And four of those are foreign-owned. And out of the big seven, most of them are in Munich, London, and Sydney, but all have offices in the New York mm-hmm. area. And 80% of the books that are published come from those seven conglomerates. And there exist in the country now about 85,000 small and self-publishers and in the country. And so self-publishing is not something that is off the table. We suggest, because we publish somewhere between 20 and 25 books a year, and that's a lot for us in terms of the resources that are available. And so we do suggest, I mean, my first book, I self-published my first book, Think Black, back in 1966. And so it's not off the table. I think that with the guests that you have today, what is clear is that many of these young people need to study publishing. One, two,
yes.
need to study layout, design, uh-huh. and so forth. All that's absolutely necessary.
So, Nakia, from your perspective, what's the best play for someone who wants to go ahead and publish? I mean, you have a very specific way of coaching people through and doing it in a business context. Who do you tell, look, don't even try it?
You know, what's interesting is that the people that do not have a business mind, folks that may not have the greatest personality, or those that are not really open to new ideas, those are people that I may say, okay, I don't believe that you're ready. I'm looking for individuals that at least at minimal have done some type of research. A lot of people contact me via the internet. So if you have taken the time to research companies like mine and have come across me, you have maybe bypassed a lot of information that you could have kind of absorbed before even coming to a company like mine. If a person just wants to, let's say, hustle books and not really understand the business, I'm not really interested in taking on clientele like that, because I do take publishing pretty seriously. And you can be very successful, but you can also cause yourself a lot of heartache and ultimately, you know, your demise if things are not handled properly.
Yeah, we've seen certainly a bunch of lawsuits over some of the, you know, books where people, it's like it was so-and-so, the ghostwriter for so-and-so, and it doesn't appear legal contracts were drawn up, and then you get mm-hmm. everything all tied up in lawsuits. Quincy, what have you learned that you would pass on to someone who was fledgling and who believed in their own work but who didn't come through any pipeline, like through a literary, MFA program where at least you get contact, somebody who was coming cold just because they believed in their own writing?
I've had a lot of my students who came out of workshops that I ran, or students of mine, who did not get to the level where where people would publish their work. And I advised them to self-publish it if they wanted to. But then I also told them that that's a very difficult thing to self-publish, because not only do you have to put out the money to do it, you have to know how to market the book. You have to know how to market. You have to copy edit. You have to lay out the whole the layout and design that was talked about earlier. You have to do that. And then you have to go out and drum up readings for yourself. So it's a very difficult thing to self-publish. It's not so easy, because you get 2,000 books, and then what do you do with the 2,000 books? Nobody knows who you are, and you can't mm-hmm. get on any radio shows. You can maybe go to your church and pass them out or sell them in the church, but you have to really think that through seriously if you're going to self-publish. But I think that's an alternative. I think that Haki's Press, if somebody is good, I would recommend that writer to go to Haki and send the manuscript there, or to any other African American press, or a small press, and I've recommended people to other people, and they've been published. So that's what I would do myself, because I've been in this a long time, and I have a track record, and I have books that sell a lot, copies, and so people come to me. The major houses come to me. I don't go to them. I don't go looking for them. They come to me and ask me about. Would you like to do this? But for people who don't have that advantage, then I would say to them that they should look at it hard and long, and then make up their mind. You know, some people think that if they publish a book and they have never done anything, that it's just going to sell. You know, it's not right. It's not like that.
And that's a fear misconception.
Guys, I have to unfortunately stop us here, but I think that this is a perfect opportunity for us to continue this online. So I'm going to see, I will contact you. I won't make you commit to this now, but I'm going to see if you'd be willing to answer a few questions, because I know people will have them. So we'll be in touch with you about that, because people want the information. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
We were hearing from Haki Madhubuti, founder of Third World Press, one of the oldest independent black publishers in the U.S., also with author Quincy Troop. His many works include Miles and Me and The Pursuit of Happiness. He joined us from NPR's New York studios. And Nakia Murray, the founder of the Literary Consultant Group, an organization that advises writers on the process of self-publishing. We spoke to her from Audio House Studios in Philadelphia. And that's our show for today. You can visit us online at nprnewsandnotes.org. NPR's News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, Senate officials give their stamp of approval to former Illinois Attorney General Roland Burris. That and more in politics.